Herald of Truth, program number 165.
History records that men in every age have had a tendency to minimize the worth of small things. It's the elephant that gets the attention, not the mouse. From the Tower of Babel to the pyramids, from the Colossus of Rhodes to the modern skyscraper, bigness has captured the attention and the hearts of men. I have in my library a book entitled Guinness Book of World Records. It has more than 450 pages dealing with the highest, fastest, newest, loudest, greatest, strongest, biggest things on Earth. Only a small portion of this book deals with small objects and organisms. In general, it deals with bigness. In a moment, I'd like to invite you to consider with me little things in a day of bigness.
Welcome to Herald of Truth and to a message of enduring truth from Batzel Barrett Baxter, who heads the Department of Bible at David Lipscomb College, Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Baxter is also minister of the Hillsboro Church of Christ in Nashville. Today's message is the first in a series of discussions on the general theme, the importance of the person. The subject for this hour is little things in a day of bigness. And now, here is Batzel Barrett Baxter.
The importance of small things was shown in the Apollo 13 flight a few months ago. After the years and months of preparation, the launch was apparently perfect. As the three astronauts sped on their way to another landing on the moon, everything seemed to be going extremely well when a near tragedy occurred. Suddenly, the successful flight became a nightmare. The whole world, as you remember, watched and prayed through several agonizing days as all the skill and resources of modern science were used to bring the men back safely to the Earth. A careful study of the spaceship was made, and eventually it was announced that, tucked away in the maze of gadgets and sophisticated electronic equipment, there was a tiny component, an electrical switch, which had been damaged in pre-launch testing and was defective. It had turned a successful flight into a near tragedy, even though in itself it was so small that it could easily have been held between the thumb and forefinger of the hand. On another voyage of discovery several centuries earlier, a few bits of seaweed and driftwood played a very important role. When Columbus and his men had been away from Spain and Portugal for a number of weeks, the faith of the crew was overcome by the fear of the unknown. Mutiny was ready to explode. At that point, a few bits of seaweed and driftwood floating on the waves, enabled Columbus to stay the mutiny of his sailors and to continue his voyage on to the discovery of the New World. Now, had these tiny objects not appeared, he would not have been able to convince his crew that land was near. The invention of clocks and watches came as a result of a small, unexpectedly important incident. A caretaker left a lighted lamp swinging from the high ceiling in the cathedral at Pisa in northern Italy. Well, to most people, this event was of no special significance. But to a boy who was later to be known in history as Galileo, there was something very significant in it. The steady, swaying motion of the lamp conveyed to his inventive mind the idea of a pendulum by means of which he could measure time. Clocks with the pendulum movement began then to measure the passage of time. Until this event, the sundial had been man's only means of calculating the time of the day. Julia Fletcher Kearney gave us the little poem, "Little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. So the little minutes, humble though they be, make the mighty ages of eternity." Now, somewhat similar are the words of George Herbert. "For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost." Great cables, strong enough to support the mightiest of bridges, are made up of many strands of small wire. Likewise, strong faith is made up of all the little revelations that come to us through God's Word, the Bible. Faith, we're told in the Roman letter, comes by hearing the Word of God. Here's our chorus singing, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink."
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe.
A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempest rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no
doubt. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whatever may come,
we'll taste in near the hallowed bliss of an eternal home.
For some time, I've wanted to present a message on the importance of small things. As I've considered this theme, I've thought of the possibility of using Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 as my text. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Another passage that could serve as a text for this theme is found in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 28, which reads, "There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The lizard taketh hold with her hands, yet is she in king's palaces." Well, all of these verses suggest that man, talented and sophisticated though he may be, can learn from the humble creatures of the earth. Still another possibility for the text that I'm looking for is Zechariah 4, verse 10, a passage in which God asks, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" And yet I think it's a few verses above this scripture that I've found what I believe to be the essence of the message that I have in mind. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, God said, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts." Now this is it. In a day when power, size, and numbers seem to determine the outcome of everything, it's good for us to remember that ultimately, it's not might nor power, but by the Spirit of God that basic issues will be decided. The majesty of God is seen in the starry heavens, and yet his greatness is also seen in a drop of water. He is so great, said one man, that he fills the universe, but he also dwells in my heart. Ours is a day of bigness. Crowds of people are everywhere. It's not unusual for a football crowd to number as many as 100,000 spectators. And basketball crowds now commonly number 10,000 to 12,000 people. And on a special occasion in the Astrodome, as many as 52,000 watched a single basketball game. Yet these numbers, impressive as they are nothing compared to the 30 or 40 or 50 million that sometimes watch a sporting event or some important happening by means of television. As the United States population goes past the 200 million mark and shows little evidence of slowing down, and as the world population reaches the 3.5 billion mark, an individual's likely to feel, I'm not very important. Lost in a sea of faces, living on a street of look-alike houses, and working at a desk like all the others, man is tempted to feel his own insignificance. Now, it's in this situation that man might well say, what I do that is good will not mean much. What I do that is evil will not be noticed. But if a man tends to feel himself insignificant amid all the other people on earth, and if he begins to feel that his behavior is unimportant, then he needs to look again. When he feels that the good he does is not of much value, he needs to remember that it was one man, Noah, who saved the human race from extinction in the flood. He needs to remember that if there'd been 10 righteous men in the city of Sodom, it would have been spared. When he's tempted to feel that evil behavior will not be noticed, he needs to remember that Adam and Eve placed a low estimate on disobedience to God, and as a result, the whole human race has suffered in 1,000 ways ever since. The fact is that God's system is based entirely upon individual behavior. His concern is with every man as an individual and in a very personal way. God blesses and punishes not on the basis of nations or races or even families, but on the basis of man's own individual thoughts and acts. Some time ago, I read an article in which it was pointed out that the average human body is made up of more than 1 trillion, now this is a staggering number, 1 trillion individual cells. The author went on to say that each one of these tiny cells, so small that only high-powered microscopes can reveal it, contains 46 pairs of chromosomes, and that attached to each of these, there are the genes. He then staggered my imagination by saying that each gene may contain as many as 30,000 determiners. It's in the genes that such major matters as the color of one's skin, physical proportions, and even the degree of one's intelligence are determined. How vitally important in the total pattern of our lives these sub-microscopic entities are. Turning to an entirely different area, we point out that God often uses what seem to be insignificant people to do great works. If one had been traveling in Egypt during the time when Joseph was there and had inquired about him as he chanced along the street, he might have been told, oh, that's only a slave boy from a distant province. Joseph did not even know the language. He had no royal blood in his veins, and he counted for almost nothing in the Egyptian scheme of things. His like could have been purchased in the slave market, I suppose, for a mere pittance on any day that one chanced to desire a slave. And yet the decisions which Joseph made in the house of Potiphar and in the prison of Pharaoh were more important than the activities being carried on by the rulers of government themselves. Joseph remembered that he belonged to God, and he fashioned his life accordingly. Now this was greatness. And this is still greatness, no matter what the setting. Turning to still another area, when God sent Samuel to anoint a new king, he sent him to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite. The older sons passed before Samuel, Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, until all seven had been considered and rejected. The reason given in the scriptures is simply that Jehovah seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Jehovah looketh on the heart. Now here's the crux of the whole matter. God sees the inward spiritual man, whereas we human beings see only the externals. We're enamored of bigness, while God is concerned with goodness. At that point in the story, Samuel asked, "Are here all of thy children?" To which Jesse replied, "There remaineth yet the youngest." You see, David was still out in the fields tending the sheep. Well, David was brought in, and he was chosen by Jehovah. And this means that he started up the road that led to his eventual achieving of the title Greatest King of Israel. The soul of man is of more value than the combined wealth of the world, yet it cannot be weighed by the most delicate of scales or viewed through the most powerful of electronic microscopes. It's of this precious soul, that part of man that's eternal, that the chorus now sings, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul."
Jesus, Lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll,
important decision of a person's life is that which leads him to stand with Christ. We have just a few years here on the earth at most, and we need to let those years count fully for the Lord. We're important in God's sight. Your eternal destiny is so extremely important that Christ came into the world and died that you might have eternal life in heaven. Do not discard as unimportant that which bears the image of God, that for which Christ died. And let me suggest that you not think of Christ dying for the whole masses of mankind. He died for you. He knows your name. He's concerned about you. He knows your circumstances. He loves you. How short the distance between life and death. Actually, even in robust health, we're only a heartbeat away from death. So little a thing as a heartbeat separates those who are alive and those who are dead. David, fleeing from Saul, said, "There is but a step between me and death," and that's true of all of us. That's for this reason that we need urgently to live our lives as God wants them lived. It's for this reason that we need to be Christians. Not only is it the happiest and most rewarding life here on the earth, but it's the only life that'll prepare us for the eternity to come. With the urgency of obedience to God in mind, I would ask, what about your faith? Apart from implicit faith, you cannot live a life that's pleasing to God. And what about repentance? Our Lord Himself informs us repentance is a life and death matter. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, He said. What about confessing Christ as God's Son, and your Lord, and your Savior? Well, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what about baptism? It was the Apostle Peter who said, baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What about regular church attendance? What about maturity of life? What about honor, integrity, and devotion to truth in the affairs of life? Are these small things of no significance? The answer, of course, is that they're matters of great significance, because each is a requirement of God. We dare not set aside any of God's commands. All are significant. All are important. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts. Who hath despised the day of small things? And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
You have been listening to a message by Batzel Barrett Baxter on the subject, Little Things in a Day of Bigness. This has been the first in a series of discussions on the general theme, the importance of the person. For a free copy of today's message, send a card or letter to Mr. Baxter, Post Office Box 2001, Abilene, Texas, zip code 79604. Ask for program number 165. That's program 165. November is a month in which many will ask, how could the year have flown by so quickly? But the year is not over. 2 full months remain, 60 precious days, days that can be filled with useful study by means of a Bible correspondence course. When you write, ask to be enrolled in a free Bible course. Bear in mind, there's no cost or obligation, and there's very much to be gained by a better understanding of the Word of God. Write to Batzel Barrett Baxter, Post Office Box 2001, Abilene, Texas, zip 79604. And please check your local newspaper or TV guide for time and channel of Herald of Truth on television. Herald of Truth has been presented by Churches of Christ and interested individuals around the world and is produced by the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas. Next week at this time, Batzel Barrett Baxter will bring the second in a series of discussions relating to the importance of the person. His subject at that time will be Respect for People. Please plan to be with us. This is Brett Allison.